Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jesse, what are we gonna talk about today?
We got a lot of stuff to talk about, Reese, such as the fact that you forgot our birthday on the 13th.
Nobody cares. We got a more important thing to talk about. Podcast birthdays are not a thing.
Happy birthday to you too, I guess. God.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Podcast birthdays, it's more about like, hey, we've released 500 episodes would be more better than like 5 years. I think.
I don't know.
There are podcasts that are 5 years old that have released 3 episodes. It's meaningless.
People like birthdays. Birthdays are fun.
They're not.
Don't you? Your kids must have a blast, man.
Let's play the music. Let's play the intro. Politics in Canada is a snooze fest. Paying attention is one hell of a test. But dig a little deeper, it's a dumpster fire. Sex, drugs, corruption, and everyone's a liar. Assassination, genocides, overpriced bread. A prime minister who talks to the dead. A province that tried to ban all cars. A premier smoking crack in strip bars. So stick around, we know you won't be snoring. It's a new episode of Canadian Politics is Boring. A cool podcast with Reese and Jesse. Oh yeah. Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. I'm Reese Waters, and with me is Jesse. Jesse, you're in Rome.
I am in Rome. I'm walking by a river. Rome's very cool. Rome is very, very cool.
You know, like it?
I do like this. Yeah.
I've been to Rome. I got a great story from Rome when I was there.
All right. That's it.
So I was in college at the time, and my friend, his family was Italian. He grew up in the UK, but they had a family home south, like 2.5 hours south of Rome. So he's like, oh, come and stay like in Italy. We'll just like explore Italy a little bit. So I was like, yeah, cool. That'd be fun. So we flew out, and while I was in Campino Airport in Rome, is it still called Campino?
I don't know.
There were these three. I was at the baggage claim, you know, with a little conveyor belt that goes around. There was these three nuns, and they must have been like in their 80s and 90s. They were just tiny little old ladies, the three of them, and they were struggling with the suitcase. And I picked the suitcase up because I was like in my 20s. I picked it up for them and put it on a like a cart for them. And they were just started like kissing my hand and blessing me. So there we go. That's my story. It was quite romantic.
And that's why you've never been sick a day in your life.
I don't know. I was pretty ill a couple of weeks ago. So maybe it ran out.
Yeah, that's nuns' blessings have a time limit on them.
They do.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Exactly. Anyway, so I did my good deed. So, yeah. So Italy, fun city. Intense, but fun.
Italy's not a city, for one, Reese.
Oh, sorry, wrong.
Close though. There you go. Yeah. I thought I was bad at geography. That's great. Let's talk about our birthday. Happy birthday, Reese. Yay, birthday. Birthday, yay. What are we going to talk about for our belated birthday episode?
We're going to talk about this is kind of a big news for us. Our show, we've done a few experiments and a few changes over the years, but our show is fundamentally changing forever.
Maybe not forever. We're going to give it a shot.
Oh, we're going to give it a try. So do you want me to explain? Do you want to explain? Because it was kind of my idea.
I'll lead into it and then I'll pass the baton. I have been wondering for years if Reese was ever going to run out of stories. And he kept telling me, no, I'm not going to run out of stories. Well, it happened. That's all it is. He ran out of stories. And like, it's been showing. Because like half the time I'm like, I don't think this has to do with politics. And he's like, that guy talked to a politician once. I'm like, all right, I guess that counts. Yeah. So we have an idea. Reese has this huge document full of ideas that people have come to him with and that he's discovered on his own. And he's been keeping this massive list of stories for like the entire time, many years that we've been doing the show. And a lot of them, they're just incredible stories, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know if it fits with the show's sort of ideology and like what the show's about. So I'll pass it on to you.
Yeah. So I had an epiphany. I had a moment where I was like, we should just, like, let's just expand it. Let's just talk about all these incredible stories and expand the show to just Canada is Boring, which is the new title of the show, as it'll be after this. So this will be the last time we do a Canadian Politics is Boring. It will be Canada is Boring because I have crazy stories in terms of, like, sport, history, things that go beyond politics. We'll still talk about political stuff at times. I imagine we'll still cover crazier stuff. We'll probably still cover elections, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it was just to be able to talk about much wider stuff going on in Canadian history with the intention of being to show that Canada is not a boring country like everybody says it is. It is constantly ranked by perception to be one of the most boring country in the world. And I refute that. And the mission is to prove that it is not. And I cannot wait to share some of these stories because
I'm excited. I mean, we asked our patrons and they're all in favor of the change. And you, dear listener, we hope you're also in favor of the change. I mean, we'll find out if our numbers just drop dramatically. We'll go back to what everybody wants.
I mean, to be honest, we make this show for us and our patrons. Like, if we weren't having fun, we wouldn't still make it. But there's just some crazy stuff I can't wait to share with Jesse.
I'm excited. So I hope, dear listener, if you like this, let us know. If you hate this idea, also let us know. CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com. Oh, shit. Do we have to change the names of everything?
we own the domain CanadaIsBoring.com and .ca. So we'll go through a process. You'll see like our social media change and everything as time goes on if you follow us. Also, interestingly, Jesse, our Instagram engagement has plummeted because Instagram and Facebook are now blocking or at least not letting the algorithm tap into political content as much.
Oh yeah, that's right.
This might actually help us on social media too. You might be actually see our stuff now once we start changing it.
Oh, this is the last few times we'll be able to say find us at Canadian Politics is Boring on Twitter or Instagram, and it's weird. It just rolls off the tongue.
You'll probably still find us if you do those search terms because there's a bunch of episodes with that name in historically on the show. So it was fine. But Canada is Boring. We've got like an updated artwork. We'll do some new t-shirts. We'll have some fun with it. And
We have an old intro that we used when we did do Canada is Boring as a patron episode years ago of me singing Canada is Boring very badly. I don't know if we want to keep that, but we've got something for the interim. for now.
Well, don't worry. I've been working on something for the intro.
Oh God. Okay.
We'll see you at the one of you singing, maybe at the end. Anyway. Yeah, so it'd be fun. But Jesse, do you know what? I think that should we do, for old time's sake, should we do one last political story? Not that we won't do political stories, but under the guise of Canadian politics is boring.
Let's do it. Bore me, Reese. Let's go.
Is it? Okay. Okay. Right. How are you going to like this title? Can you guess what it's called?
Give me a hint.
Actually, that's a really shit question. Can you guess what the title is called?
Yeah, I was going to say, no. I can't. No, I cannot.
No wonder we're rebranded. This is shit. So the title of this episode is called When the Liberals Funded Satanists.
That's awesome. What? Okay. This is great. I hope this is recent.
No, I'll be honest. The title is kind of misleading. The title is slightly misleading.
All right.
But it's going to be... It'll make sense. It'll make sense eventually. So, March the 1st, 1972, Toronto. I've got to credit. A lot of this is pulled...
There's 40% battery length. All right. I'm all right. Should be fine.
A lot of this episode, I can credit to an article written by a guy called Nate Hendley. He's written some great articles about historical stuff in Ontario. So I'm going to pull in a lot from this. So March the 1st, 1972, progressive conservative MP Wallace Nesbitt stood in the House of Commons and demanded to know why the Liberals were funding Satanism in Toronto. So what happened? The Liberal government had provided grant money to a religious group widely reported to be promoting devil worship and attend rites and rituals. And apparently they got a big fat government grant to do so.
What? Explain further.
So, have you ever heard of the Process Church of the Final Judgment?
No. That sounds terrifying, though.
They were a small sect. It's kind of a small sect. So they were kind of like, they had costumes, and this is what made them stand out and caught kind of people's attention. So they wore dark ankle-length capes. They'd modified crucifixes so that they had snakes on them.
Capes would have been like those, you mean like a cape or like a cloak?
It says capes.
Cape.
Like a cape, yeah.
Capes and cloaks would be much less terrifying if they ended like just above the knee.
No, they were down to the ankles to like shield. As if I read a picture. Yeah, it was kind of like capes. It kind of it looked like a gown. Like you know those horror movies where they're about to shove a knife through a naked person tied on a plinth. It was kind of like those kind of capes.
Most horror movies, yeah.
They loved the Goat of Mendez album emblem, which was the goat head, which you see with the goat's head and a pentagram.
Okay.
Which people always assume is Satan. And the male leaders always grew long hair and beards, and they kind of all look like a Rasputin.
All right. This is a church.
It's a kind of like a kind of like a cult, secty cult. So they were established by an English couple in the 1960s and 70s called Mary Ann McLean and Robert de Grimston. Basically, they were kicked out of Scientology in 1962.
Robert de Grimston?
Yeah, Robert de Grimston.
His last name just sounds like he has marbles in his mouth and is trying to say something.
Robert. But basically, they were kicked out of the Church of Scientology in the 60s.
That's amazing how hard that is to do.
I know. Exactly.
Wow.
So what they did was they took what they learned from Scientology and decided to start their own cult.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you know, like Scientologists do like these kind of like treatments on you and you kind of like share all the bad things you've done. And they came up with their own version called compulsions analysis. And they started to set up branches in London, Rome, Chicago, New York City, and San Francisco. But they essentially moved. They lived briefly in Toronto, which is where the kind of sect established in about 1971.
Okay. What were they doing? What are these areas?
Like, they believed in one supreme divinity, God, but yeah. They believed in there were four gods that made up one god. So
that's not that different from Christianity.
No, it's not
the Holy Trinity, right? Like,
but then they did things called processing, like therapeutic practicing, where they would use an electronic meter called the P scope, which was supposed to measure your feelings, much like the Scientology use an E meter.
Right.
So the existence of the four gods were Jehovah, Lucifer, Satan, and Christ. And collectively were known as the great gods of the universe. Kind of like the, I remember Captain Planet when our powers combined.
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Jehovah, sure. Lucifer, Satan, Christ.
What would they say instead of when our powers combine?
Great gods of the universe, like He-Man.
I have the power. Yeah, that's it. That's where He-Man got it from. Was this? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. But you're instructed to follow the gods that were best suited to you. So they would basically give you a personality test, and they would explain, and then they would go, "Oh, those online personality tests where they're like, hey, if you were a car, you'd be a Corvette. You do one of those."
Right, yeah.
And then two of the gods, you'd be a combination of the two. So Jehovah is strength, Lucifer is light, Satan is separation, and Christ is unification. And then you get those powers based on your personality test.
You get those powers.
Yeah.
The powers of separation.
Exactly.
Watch as I make my parents divorce.
Exactly.
Wave your hands in the air. Yeah, okay.
Lucifer is light, they just give you a flashlight. Jehovah is strength, steroids.
Let's get a bucket of this stuff in the office.
Exactly. So apparently, yeah, you'd follow the gods that were best suited to you. So two of those gods, and then the gods were manifested in you. It's not that different from a horoscope, to be honest.
Except you don't get powers from a horoscope.
Well, I mean, the hypothetical powers. I was said that because I was thinking about Captain Planet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So apparently the Globe and Mail wrote on February the 5th, 1973, anyone who walks down Yonge Street knows them. Bright-eyed young people in long capes of black or blue wearing strange images of a serpent around their necks.
They were recruiting.
Yes, they were. They were. So what happened was...
God, I wish they were still around. I would love to be recruited by these fucks. Amazing. I would be a horror story for them. They would... Oh, they couldn't get me out of their organization fast enough. It'd be so much fun.
You'd love it. You'd love it. Just wrapping everything in snakes, wearing, yeah, it'd be great. You'd love it. Anyway, so they had about half a dozen full-time members. They weren't that many people. It was literally just six people.
So they're really bad at recruiting.
And they sell a magazine called Process, which is the most boring name you can think of for a cult that is this interested.
Six people had their own magazine.
Process.
That nobody read.
Process magazine.
I imagine if people read this magazine about the cult, they would probably want to join, which means nobody read their magazine. There's six people exactly. who wrote a magazine that the other five people would read.
Apparently, one of the editions.
It was an email thread. It was just a group email.
one of the magazines had an interview with Mick Jagger and other celebrities featured in there, apparently.
Yeah, fucking right. No, I mean, I get it. If you say you're a magazine, people will, it's interesting what you can do when you act professional, act in a certain way that, you know what I mean? I would not be surprised if that was an actual interview. He's like, hey, we've got this very popular magazine. Who's going to check? On his tour, just add it to the list of interviews Mick Jagger's doing that year,
So they had a drop-in center and coffee house on Gloucester Street in Toronto. They hosted religious services, concerts, and seminars about telepathy that were open to the public.
But nobody showed. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I guess some people might have showed for free coffee and stuff. It's like, okay. would you It's like, yeah, it's like when you get crashed at church because you're thirsty and hungry and like, give me some of your stuff. And they're nice and just happy you're there. Give me those donuts.
Thank God somebody showed up. Give me donuts.
For the coffee morning. Would you like to do some Bible studies? No, I'm just cynically here for the food. It's fine. because I mean, this whole thing is a mixture of Scientology meets all these kind of like mishmash of beliefs. People thought it was a satanic coven, even though it wasn't a satanic coven. People assumed it was because there were snakes and robes, and they had Lucifer
and they worshipped Satan and Lucifer
and Jehovah and Christ, though.
Right, but like you could see where they're getting the fact that they were Satan worshippers. It might have had something to do with the fact that they worshipped Satan. You see, I'm putting these dots. So you're picking up on this, like,
yeah, but only 25%. 25% of the worship went.
Oh, right, yeah, you know, that's fine, man. Yeah, that's.
I mean, Catholics talk about Satan and hell all the time.
Yeah, sure, same thing. Okay, yeah, totally same thing. Yeah.
So, like, a lot of these rumors started to go around. So, people were saying that like Charles Manson was inspired by them. Apparently, another serial killer, David Berkowitz from New York. They claim that he used to be a member, which isn't necessarily true. But apparently, they were like afterwards. They weren't actually like promoting serial killers and things like that. There were some like stories of abuse that came, like psychological and sexual abuse, in some of the chapters around the world, because it was kind of it's a weird cult, I guess.
What a surprise!
Yeah, yeah. And it was
There were actually like populations in these sects around the world. It wasn't just a total of six people running this entire thing.
No, it's just that was their extent in Toronto.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
I missed this entire time. I was picturing this entire organization consisted entirely of six people. But it's not. Okay, that makes much more sense. How many people were there?
They were like hundreds around the world, maybe thousands potentially.
This changes things for me. All right. Yeah. This is slightly. All right. Okay. It's not just the mad whimsicals of six people. Like, all right.
So, keep going. But also, what happened was, you know, like Scientology has got a lot of famous people join and they kind of help boost their profile. So, like, I don't know, like Will Smith.
I have theories on this. Is Will Smith a Scientologist?
Yeah, Will Smith, Beck.
I know Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is the obvious one. The woman who used to be on that she was in Scientology. She was on a sitcom, and then she got out, and now she kind of like talks against the church.
I have heard rumors as to why celebrities do this, and it's because
they're fucked in the head.
No, it's a potential tax shelter.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Maybe.
That's what I've heard this theory. I think that, like, you know, I don't really understand. I don't know the details, but I know that if you donate to a church, it is tax-free. And there might be some sort of, like, cashback incentive. I don't know. Right? Like, you give us a certain amount, we'll give you a certain amount back, and you don't pay taxes on any of it, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but this is what I've heard, which would make sense for all these millionaires joining this crazy church that just didn't add up to me. Like, why? Why this doesn't make any sense? that made more sense. You know?
Yeah, no, it does. That makes sense. Well, anyway, so this cult got his own celebrity member. So, I never heard of him before this, but somebody called George Clinton, who was a funk pioneer, he helped create the funk music movement.
Cool. No, I have not heard of
him. He was the head. He was born in 1941. Apparently, he's an American singer-songwriter, record producer, and band leader.
I'm gonna get a phone call this week from Howie. He's gonna tell me all about him, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Howie.
So, his collective developed an influential and eclectic form of funk music during the 1970s that drew on Afrofuturism, outlandish fashion, psychedelia, and surreal humor. But anyway, he was part of it, and it meant that the cult members all got to hang out in recording studios around Toronto with famous people with it.
That's kind of cool.
So, but anyway, so all this came about in 1972. It all kind of came to a head when it was revealed that the Process Church had received $25,900 in grant money from the Local Initiatives Program, or LIP. So LIP had been established by the Liberal government to fund cultural and community projects around the country. The church said the funds were to pay for employees at its drop-in center. And apparently when this became public, like, it was a massive scandal nationally.
That's really funny.
I know.
Like, this is why I don't like politics. This is part of it. Okay. Is like, this is just yet another story of incompetence. Absolute incompetence in our government. I have friends who work in the government. I have other friends who have worked in the government. I have heard, I won't name names, but I've heard stories from these people about the sheer level of incompetence at the places they themselves worked, right? Just like how the money is, like, it's completely useless. And what's really funny is our own government, it's like a cycle. It's like a process. What our own government creates these instances of incompetence, and then our own government points it out to itself.
Well, this grant, the grant application.
Like you're about to tell me, the public didn't get mad. The government got mad at itself for being stupid.
the grant was endorsed by the YMCA, the Doctors' Hospital in Toronto, the Ontario Health Ministry of Health, and the Bank of Montreal. Now, but what happened was they applied for it, that they didn't expect to get the grant.
Right.
They applied for it, but they didn't think, they were like, we're not going to get this. And also, apparently, the thing with the grant is it was trying to go beyond religious kind of religious affiliation as to whether she gets, so that whether it was a religion or not, they didn't look at. So what happened was they realized they were getting a grant. So they quickly had to transform their basement into a coffee house and a soup kitchen for homeless people, just to go, oh no, we're going to spend this money now. They gather like old clothing and they offered counseling for drug addicts. And they suddenly just created like an anti-poverty mission, which was apparently a bit half-hearted, but they were like, well, we're going to have to justify this grant to someone eventually.
So that's amazing. I mean, that's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. They could have just taken it and done whatever the fuck they wanted with it.
I know. But it was so funny because the conservatives were like saying things like, two affidavits alleging that a Toronto coffee house and drop-in center financed by the Local Initiatives Program last year and run by the Process Church was a haven for addicts, prostitutes, homosexuals, and drug traffickers. So they were kind of on their moral high horse. It was just,
right, of course.
It was just he gave a weird cult some money, and they were just like, shit, we better give out some soup. So
that's funny, though, that's how they twisted it. It's like looking at a soup kitchen and saying that it's a den of lies where all criminals come together. You know, I'm like, no, they're getting soup, man. They're getting, you know what I mean? Like, it's strange.
The crazy part is the government didn't backtrack. So Pierre Trudeau and his government didn't back down on letting them keep the money.
They let them keep the money.
It expired in 1972 and they spent it, but they never admitted they were wrong and they shouldn't have got it. They were like, no, we were happy. They've got a soup kitchen. They're helping addicts. We don't care. We let them have it. So they really stuck to their guns on it.
regardless of the crazy shit you said.
I got a couple things to say about this. One, that's just what government does. I don't know if you've noticed. No government has ever admitted they were wrong. Ever. They can't. It's almost like an impossibility. Like they're not able. It's an inability to do, to admit mistakes. No one has ever. Point, tell me in one example, literally anyone who's listening to this show, give me one example of any Canadian politician saying, whoops, you're right, I was wrong. Ever. Any example. I'd love to hear. CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com while we still have the email address. Secondly, I don't really see the harm. Like, these guys were fucking nuts, like nuts, out of their mind, loco. And then they took like a few $1,000s. This wasn't like $20 million. It was $30,000. This is not a lot of money. And they actually made a soup kitchen and a place for drug addicts to come. And like, that sounds like they were using the money for what the grant was made for. Right? Like, I don't have a problem with this.
Well, I and also I kind of feel like them sticking to their guns on it, I'm like, I don't know. It was given out. They must have like ticked boxes and stuff like that. If they try to get the money off them, I don't know. It would have, how would you get the money back off them?
And despite the fact that they were loons, what were they doing wrong?
Well, they were just weird, a bit crazy. But apparently, I mean, like I said, there was some reports afterwards of like abuse and things within it. But there was
that. Okay.
But to be honest, it's the 1970s. Name a government institution where there isn't sexual abuse going on.
Right. Seriously.
Like, you know, it's like
every government is
every in the 70s. Every, yeah.
But like, it's, you know, like it's, yeah, okay, with that exception, which you said came out later, like they didn't have.
Yeah, and it didn't say specifically Toronto. It was from like one of the chapters around the world.
Right. Yeah. This is, so that even, I'd say, yeah, I don't know. I don't see a problem with this.
No.
I think it's hilarious that this crazy church actually took the money and made a soup kitchen with it. Like, that's funny.
And I, so eventually,
like, it's the only responsible thing they've ever done.
by the mid 70s, though, the process church was like internally tearing itself apart, and the two founders fell out. And like they changed its name to the Foundation Church of the Millennium, and it then abandoned love your enemy, the devil doctrine, and embraced a more mainstream Christian faith. There's like a rebrand to go, no, we're just like normal Christians. And it didn't work, and it kind of faded away. Until 1993, the church adopted a new identity, becoming an organization called Best Friends.
Fucking kidding me.
A nonprofit group devoted to animal care.
Are you shitting me?
No. No.
A nonprofit group devoted to animal care and Satan worship.
No, just called Best Friends. Yeah, okay. Eventually, they just kept evolving until...
It was just Best Friends. It'd just be a photo of Satan holding a dog and smiling together. Like, exactly.
So it's the Best Friends Animal Society was founded in 1993 as an American nonprofit. They have locations in Atlanta, Bentonville, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, and Salt Lake City. And they did some good work during Hurricane Katrina. But it's just such a bizarre origin to think is connected to this Satanist cult.
I love this, though. I want to go to one of these places, volunteer for a bit, help with a dog or a cat or something, and then at the end of the shift, I'd be like, yeah, this is great. By the way, did you guys used to worship Satan? And the answer I know is yes. Like, that's just
amazing. That's like, right? Like,
you know.
Funny how it all ties up in the end. So yeah, so there we go. This is our story.
That was a good one. I like that a lot. But you see, dear listener, how like this isn't really a political story. I mean, it is and it isn't.
Well, this, you know, the only connection was there was a 5-minute discussion about the grant funding.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
So we want to expand, you know, and I'm for this expansion. Let us know your thoughts either way. CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com or find us on social media.
Go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com and leave a message. The web address will still take you there.
Or, you know, what we haven't asked for in a long time is a speak pipe.
Oh, yeah. There's a speak pipe.
you, in the show notes, just a little text in your podcast provider, there should just be a link. It's like a voicemail, an anonymous voicemail. You don't have to sign up or nothing. You can literally be leaving us an anonymous voicemail in 5 seconds. Click the link, start talking, send it. We don't even have to know who you are. Just what? So, yeah, send us a speak pipe. Let us know what your thoughts on the expansion of the show to Canada is Boring. I'm excited. I'm sad to say goodbye to the title because I came up with it. I was very proud of that title, but that's okay. We'll move on.
Yay.
Yay.
So, well, what do we do next?
We're saying happy birthday and then killing. It's like a weird birthday where we kill instead of. No, it's getting dark and weird. All right. Yeah.
All right. I just want to thank everyone for supporting the show up till now and during this transition. Look at it as like, I don't know. I was going to say it's like your parents are getting divorced. They still love you. It's not your fault, but it's not even that extreme. One of your parents is changing their name. That's it.
Here's a question. For our live show in May, are we doing that as Canada is Boring or as Canadian Politics is Boring? Because we've already had people buy tickets under the guise of Canadian Politics is Boring.
We should probably keep it the same so that they can't sue us.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been sued a lot. So,
you know. Well, there's so many. It's that time Trudeau sued us, so we couldn't say that he eats certain things, small humans anymore.
That's right.
Not allowed to say that. You know, but that's the kind of thing a deep-pocketed baby would do. So,
I want to apologize also, dear listener, for the quality of my voice. I am in Rome on my phone. And
by a river.
I had no other place to record. So this is the only one.
Whenever Jesse records at a hostel, someone just walks in, like, just wearing a towel.
Yeah, and then, like, unrobes and does a helicopter dick in front of me. It's very distracting.
Yeah, you can't work like that. As you're being sprayed with what's left of the water from their shower, from their dick helicopter, it's hard to stay professional, Jesse, isn't it?
That's exactly right, Reese.
Yeah.
You know the struggle all too well. Yeah. helicopter dick spray. As we all know the problems. Yeah, we've all been there. It's very, very challenging to be professional. With the helicopter dick spray in your face.
It will end your voiceover career like that. Anyway, so.
Especially if they pee while doing helicopter dick, that's just a whole new mess.
It's like an organic sprinkler system. When I was a kid.
When they do it, they go.
Yeah.
With their mouth? Yeah.
And they move and go back to the original position. Got a funny story. Funny. Oh, we're talking about piss jokes. Funny piss story for you.
Yes, please.
Used to walk my cousin's dog.
I mean, we're there already. So, like, why stop now?
I used to walk my cousin's dog, and me, my dad, and my brother, my cousin, we're all stood in a line taking a piss against a fence or a tree. Or I can't fully remember all the details. Just because I don't know. I guess you go for a walk, you have a drink, you all piss together. And the dog, we were all stood in a line pissing, and I was pissing, and the dog saw like a rabbit or something, and it yanked me in front of the full line of everyone. I got pissed at everyone.
Are you serious?
And I was still pissing while I was running and pissing while getting pissed on by other people, my family.
You're You've never been the same since.
I love that dog, but I never forgave you for that.
That was a duck just flew by my head. Two ducks. It's like, what the fuck was that? It was a flyby, a duck flyby.
Wouldn't it be good if it pissed on you? It's a shame. It's a missed opportunity.
Yes, it's a shame, Bruce.
Yeah. It's such a shame.
That's very funny. How many people were there in the line?
Three or four?
How far spaced apart were they?
They're like not super close, but it was like stood in a line.
Was the person at the end, did that person have enough time to see you coming?
They were laughing too hard. They were told they were laughing.
But they kept pissing, didn't they?
Yeah. I don't know if you ever tried to run out of piss as well. It's very hard.
It's not impossible.
So anyway, that was a good story.
Well, it was good.
Yeah, just to end it. Anyway, so.
Okay, Canadian cool. Politics is boring. 7% politics, 90% dick jokes. Yeah.
There's pez and dicks for the last 10 minutes. You're welcome. So, yeah, look forward. Also, we are going to change our Patreon a little bit. We'll go into more details in the future, but that's gonna change too. But it does just mean more content, basically, and our patrons will get a great, even better deal. So yeah, that's
and soon in the future we will be also accepting Apple podcast subscriptions, which is easy to do. Just a click of a button, you're done.
You don't need to use Patreon. You can just use Apple.
Yeah,
because they do that.
There's a chat function in Patreon where you can come and talk to us, or if you just want the extra additional bonus content, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and that's all coming very soon. As soon as Reese gets off his ass, and actually does it.
Yeah, because I go all the time in the world and just literally sat here doing nothing.
I know. It's sad. We've been trying to get you to do shit. It's just, you know.
I'm trying to move my office to a new office at the moment. It's a nightmare.
This is what he says. He just sits in the coffee shop and eats donuts all day. I've watched him.
So no, I bring delusional. Into churches and eat their donuts. We've already established that.
After they're all gone, because you don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah. It's so funny. The Tim Hortons near my home, I'll go in there on a Sunday morning and pick up like breakfast sometimes as a treat for like me and my wife and the kids. And I'll be there like still wearing the t-shirt and shorts that I slept in. Just wearing a pair of boots, like snow boots, and then like a coat or a hoodie or something in it. Yeah. And then you can just tell everyone to go to churches in like dressed immaculately in like suits. Funny words. I feel like such a slob. They got their shit together on a Sunday morning.
That's very funny. Yeah. I like that.
Anyway, I smell. But it's okay. I'm picking up donuts for the kids, so I'm a good dad.
So. That's what you tell yourself every Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. I earned this when I helped those nuns. So that was the deal. I don't have to go to church ever.
You got blessed by nuns, yeah.
It'd be a better story if I got pissed on by nuns, but if you murdered maybe when I'm old and my brain goes wonky, I'll merge those two memories. So.
I mean, if you want, we can make that movie. That can be a thing. We can, you know, like, we can make this fantasy of yours come true if you want, Reese. Like, we've got the equipment and the know-how. Just need to find some nuns. That's all. Just like, I'm sure, put off donations to a church. They'll do anything, right? Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. The sisterhood of the leaky mothers.
And the fatherhood of the helicopter dicks.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
is that what it's called? A fatherhood? That's not right. The sisterhood and that.
I don't know. I don't think this. I don't think this is like actually a religious.
Okay, thank you so much for listening.
Going to name a priesthood after people who swing their dicks. Well, what's the proper terminology?
Let us know.
So, CanadianPoliticsBoring@gmail.com until we replace the email with something.
Thank you, dear listener. Oh, we'll replace it, but we'll forward it. So you can still forward always, it. Always email us at CanadianPoliticsBoring@gmail.com. It'll get to us.
And if you use the name of anything, it might stay like just the old name forever. And I'm sorry.
We might do that too, because we're also very lazy. So we'll see. Who knows?
In the next 5 years, you'll see a slow transition to the new name and branded on all the platforms we're on. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dear listener, thank you so much for listening to the last episode of Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Jesse. This is the ever slippery Reese Waters. Send us a SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/CanadianPoliticsIsBoring. Let us know your thoughts on the new rebrand. And we'll see you in Halifax for the live show in May.
I'm not tickets slippery. Available. Yeah, I'm not tickets slippery. Available. I'm piss drenched.
That's way worse. That's so gross. Okay. Thank you. Thank
tickets you. On the website if you want to come hang with us in person. And but no pissing allowed is unhygienic in a brewery. So
the whole show. Yeah.
Okay. They do have bathrooms, but you should hold it in.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
There's a snooze fest. Snooze fest. Paying attention is one hell of a test.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.